Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Play Me or Fade Me. And thank you for joining us as always. And that's a winner. Yes, indeed. It is a winning day for Mr. Action Junkie. If you're wondering who this is, that's fair. My name is Kyle Comas. Mr. Action Junkie does have the night off. It's good to be back here with you all. Talk a little MLB. I haven't really dabbled in betting it yet, but I have been loving the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. So even if you're not a hockey fan, I definitely recommend watching that. I got right now the Jets game on my TV, so I definitely recommend tuning into that. Even if you don't watch hockey, it's a great time to watch Stanley Cup playoffs. If you're looking for some of my plays also when I'm not hosting the show, you can find that on my Twitter/X timeline, whatever you want to call that, at Kota Kapper Kyle. Me and Mr. Action Junkie are currently doing a season-long contest called No Runs or More Runs, where he and I will give out our favorite Nerfy, which are no-run first inning, and Yerfy, yes-run first inning bets. Those lines usually come out in the morning, so those will go in the newsletter, so just be sure to subscribe to that. That's in the show notes. And every day, I also give out my best bets for the MLB slate. Usually, Action will share that on the show. I'll also post that to my timeline. So be sure to follow me again at Kota Kapper Kyle. But enough about me. Let's get into recapping Mr. Action Junkie's card from Tuesday, April 30th. I do want to make a note that Action does have Milwaukee plus 4.5 against the Pacers on his card. That game is going on as a record. I believe it's at halftime right now. So we'll update the show notes with the results of that game. Irregardless, though, Mr. Action Junkie has a 5-2 day right now, pending the Bucks play. So let's recap his card. He had the 76ers plus 4.5 against the Knicks. And well, was this a close contest for Mr. Action Junkie. This game ends up going overtime. But when the score does go final, the 76ers win the game outright, 112-106. And that plus 4.5 does cash. He also had the Cavaliers minus 4.5 against Orlando. Unfortunately, that did not work out well for him because the second quarter was just bad for the Cavaliers. They got outscored 24-15 by the Magic in the second quarter. The Cavs do go on to win 104-103, but that minus 4.5 does not cover, and that second quarter was a huge part of that. So that did not cover for him. In the MLB, he had the Guardians and the Astros over 9.5, and Action could have had this game at over 16, and it would have hit. Right now, the game's in the top of the ninth, and it's tied at 8-8. But the over 9.5, that's going to cash without a problem for Mr. Action Junkie. That was a play that I wish I would have tailed, and hopefully you tailed that play because that was absolutely money. He had the Cubs and the Mets under 8. This was a low-scoring game that the only time you really saw runs in this game was when DJ Stewart for the Mets had a 3-run home run in the bottom of the 6th. The Mets did go on to win 4-2, and that under 8 does hit. He had the Blue Jays on the money line at a minus 132. This was his only loser in the MLB. The Royals seemed to have their way with the Blue Jays in this contest. They had a late rally in the game, ended up winning the game 4-1. The Blue Jays money line does not cover. He had the Brewers on the run line minus 1.5 against the Rays. And I mean, this was just an absolute trouncing by the Brewers. They put up 3 runs in the first 2 innings. Willie Adams had a 3-run home run in the 6th. And they score another 2 runs in the 7th. That equals out to 8 runs in the game compared to the Rays 2. So, yeah, I'd say this play hit for him. And finally, he had the Red Sox in the money line against the Giants at a plus 110. And this game was all Red Sox in a dominant pitching and fielding fashion. The Red Sox scored a run in each of the first four innings, and then after that, there was no run scored by either team. The Red Sox go on to win 4-0, and that money line does hit. So right now, he's sitting at a 5-2 day. The Bucks are looking pretty good right now. Knock on wood if you have wood near you. But it's going to be a winning day for him regardless. So congratulations, Mr. Action Junkie, on that. As always, I give you a trivia question when I come on. I love asking trivia. So, yeah, your trivia question, I'm going to stick with the NFL draft theme like last time. Maybe you thought that the trivia question I asked last time was a little tougher. So I'm going to try to give you a little bit easier one. So we'll see how that is for you. So Caleb Williams, unsurprisingly, was drafted number one overall in this year's draft. He was the fourth Pac-12 player this century, and by this century, I mean, of course, after 2000, that got drafted number one overall. Can you name the other three Pac-12 players post-2000 to go number one overall? So, I will give you time to think about it while I break down my card for Wednesday, May 1st. Let's get started off with one of the earlier games of the slate. I like the Brewers on the money line versus the Rays at a minus 101. The Brewers are sitting right at the top of the NL Central right now, and it's not difficult to figure out why that would be the case. They're bringing in 5.07 runs per game, which is sixth in the entire MLB, and that's a big thanks to the slugging that this team has had. They're averaging around 1.25 home runs per game, which is second in all of baseball. And they have seven batters right now that have at least three home runs through their first 27 games. This lineup is just super hard for pitchers to go against. Now, if we take a look at this pitching matchup in this game, it's an interesting one. So Colin Ray is getting the nod for the Brewers, and he hasn't had a bad season so far. He has a 2-0 record and five starts with a 3.25 ERA and 18 Ks. However, this Rays lineup is pretty unfamiliar with Ray, as only three of the batters have faced Ray, and those three batters are combined for four ABs against them. So this is a brand new pitcher for the Rays batters, and teams tend to struggle to figure out batters the first time they face them. Meanwhile, Zach Eflin is on the mound for the Rays, and he has really, really struggled this year. He has a 1-3 record and a 4.08 ERA. Four Brewers batters have at least five ABs against Eflin, and they seem to have his number as all four of them have a 300 batting average against him. With an unfamiliar pitcher that the Rays have to face, the power behind the Brewers' bats, the success that their hitters have against Eflin, and the struggle that Eflin has against this year, that makes me think that 101 money line is quite a bit of value here, so let's cash in on that value. Give me the Brewers on the money line, minus 101 against the Rays. Next up, let's go to the Twins and the White Sox. I like the under of 8.5 at a plus 100. I'm sure some of you are concerned with this play when you see that we got two starting pitchers in this matchup that both have an above 4 ERA. I understand that, but here's the thing, folks. I'm not sure if the White Sox could get off of me. Right now, they're the worst team in baseball. They're averaging only about 2.72 runs per game, which is the worst in baseball. And as a team, they're only hitting up. They're only hitting 208. That's the second worst in baseball. And if you're wondering how could someone be worse than 2.08, the Athletics are batting 2.06. They're 0.02 better than the worst team in baseball. I mean, this team just is not getting it done on the offensive end, simply put. The move seems to be to always bet an under in the White Sox game because they seem to always deliver for you when you bet an under against them. Now, right now, the White Sox, their current lineup is batting around 296 against Bailey Ober. So they do seem to have his number, which is why I think there's a plus money on the under. However, when we look at that, that's historical to me. And right now I'm focusing on the present of this White Sox team. And the present is telling me that this team is not getting the job offensively to sway me against this pick. The Twins bats have been decent this year, so that part makes it a little iffy for me. But as far as the Pins pitching goes, they got good news this week. Their closer, Johan Duran, has been activated from the DL, and he's been lights out at closer this year. He has 8 saves on 8 opportunities. You can't ask for much more than that. If he comes in the ninth, I don't think there's much of a chance at all for the White Sox to score a run here. So let's hope it's a low-scoring affair. Maybe we'll see Duran in the ninth, and let's hope for low scoring. Give me the Twins and the White Sox under 8.5 at a plus 100.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year,
Panarin!
Part of the past, the celebrations forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History, we're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Next up, let's go with the Padres. I like them on the money line at a minus 140 against the Reds. A mindset that I tend to have when it comes to pitchers in this league is that historically, they've shown me that if they have the stats to be considered a good pitcher, if they're in a slump, they seem to find their way out of it. So what I mean by that is if historically these guys are considered good pitchers based off of ERA, strikeouts, command, just overall trends, if they're in your mind as a good pitcher, they get out of slumps. And I seem to find that more often than not. And right now, Joe Musgrove is absolutely in a slump right now. He had probably one of the worst outings in his career in his last start against the Phillies when he gave up 4 home runs and 7 earned runs and only 3 1/3 inning pitched against the Phillies. But other than that, his last few starts have not been ideal, but they got him wins. So nonetheless, he's looking to improve off of that horrible performance. And what a better time to do it and get his confidence back than against one of the top hitting teams in baseball. The Reds have had their way with Musgrove in the past, but Musgrove is a proven pitcher and shows that he can be a great pitcher against solid hitting teams this season, as 2 of his wins have come against teams in the top 10 in hitting this year. On the flip side for the Reds, Graham Ashcraft is getting the start for them. He has a 3-1 record and a 4.4 ERA, and I think that high ERA comes into factor here against the Padres that are scoring around 4.72 runs per game. I'm sure most of you think that I'm rambling at this point, and everything that I've said points to the Reds. You think the Reds the actual play, but that's not what I'm saying. And here's my Kyle Komas thought for the day. Pitchers try to forget about bad outings, but it's always, always in the back of their mind. Musgrove wants to have a better game to get him on the right track for the remainder of the season, and I think he does that in this game here. So give me the Padres on the money line, minus 140 against the Reds. Finally, my last play, I got the Guardians and the Astros under 8.5 at a minus 115. Now, if I haven't lost you already, I'm sure most of you are about ready to turn off this podcast after this play. Yes, I get it. The Guardians are an unbelievable hitting team this year, and the Astros, once again, are at the top of the league as far as offensive scoring as well. However, it is the pitching matchup that's caused me to look at the under for this game. Tristan McKenzie is on the mound for the Guardians. Yeah, he struggled with his command this year. He has 18 Ks to 17 walks. However, a good chunk of those walks came in just one game when he had 6 of them against the Yankees. So that's a little skewed in my opinion. But following that bad, bad start against the Yankees, he's had two solid outings against the Red Sox and the A's to get him back on the win train for the season. On the flip side, for the Astros, it's Father Time. It's Justin Verlander on the mound, and people wondered how the 41-year-old would be doing at this point in the season. And in 2 starts, he looks about as good as ever. He has a 1-0 record and a 1.74 ERA in those 2 starts. In his 2 games, he also struck out 11 batters with only 4 walks. So Verlander's starting out the season about as good as you can possibly ask a 41-year-old to do, and he very well could hold this very talented Guardians team in check. Although the offensive stats for both teams make it seem like the over might be the play, I'm going to echo a quote that Action always says. I'm going to take the good pitching over the good hitting. Give me the under 8.5 in the Guardians and the Astros at a minus 115. Once again, I'm only giving you 4 plays, but please do note that I'll have my Nerfy plays out in the AM. Those come out on the blog and newsletter, so be sure to subscribe to that. And I also put them on my timeline at Coda Capricile. So to recap my card, I have the Brewers on the money line, against the Rays at a minus 101. I have the Twins and the White Sox under 8.5 at plus 100. I have the Padres money line against the Reds at a minus 140. And finally, I have the Guardians and the Astros under 8.5 at a minus 115. So once again, my trivia question for you. Caleb Williams was drafted number one in this year's draft. He was the fourth Pac-12 player post-2000 to get drafted number one overall. Can you name the other three? Well, the very first one, go back all the way to 2003, Carson Palmer. Go to 2012 for the second one with Andrew Luck. And then the third one back in 2016, Jared Goff. So those are the three people that got drafted number one from the Pac-12 ahead of Caleb Williams. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that trivia question, and I hope you enjoyed the show. But as always, enjoy the games, manage that bankroll, don't chase money, have fun, and let's cash some tickets together. Good luck, everyone.